Welcome, everybody, to call number one of the PEACE System, the Sanity Saving Priority Management System for Creative Entrepreneurs. I'm Lisa Robin Young from lisarobinyoung.com, and I am thrilled to have you joining me in this program. And right now, I want to give you clarity on what this session is all about. If you've seen the webpage, you may have seen the course outline. Today, we're getting the overview of the entire system. That's going to give you a sampling of everything so that you can start experimenting with it as soon as this session ends. This module also covers in detail the five key areas of success, which are a little different from the last time I taught them, a bit about duties and responsibilities, and I'm going to provide you with a powerful questioning tool that you can take out into your day as soon as the session is over and use it immediately. Then for each of the remaining weeks of the course, we're going to be digging deeper into each step with specific exercises, answering questions about the process, talking about the how-tos of the thing, and anything else that may come up for you along the way. I am an entrepreneur, a musician, a performer, a wife and a mom, and not always in that order, I will confess to that. At one point in my early career, if you could call it a career at that point, I was juggling a job, going to college, raising a special needs child, all as a single mom, and trying to get a direct sales business off the ground. And then I got married, had another child, and started coaching other entrepreneurs. And now I've added more creative endeavors to the mix. I'm just about finished with a book called The Secret Watch, working on my third album, and digging through a web series that we're creating. So lots of irons in the fire. And at one time I thought, oh gosh, I was constantly moving from one shiny object to another, and you may have heard it called shiny object syndrome. For a lot of my life, I couldn't figure out why I wasn't being successful. Chasing these other things felt like the right thing to do. At the same time, I knew shiny object syndrome was not going to get me anywhere I needed to be. And I thought I was doing the right things, but my wheels kept spinning in the mud. And maybe that's how you feel too. So what I'm sharing with you today wasn't something that came easy to me. I know some of you are taking this class for the second time. I spent 2 years figuring this process out, and then another 2 years since the last time I've taught it, tweaking it, testing it, inviting my clients to experience the power of creating a process that works for them. Except for many people, it's hard to create a process on your own. They need a guide or a net to catch them, and that's what this program does. I'm the kind of person that tests everything. I want to know it's going to work before I unleash it on the world. So this isn't something that I just thought about one day and go, oh, this might be something nice to teach people. I've lived through this. Some of you may even remember the first time I taught this program. I had already invested 2 years of my life into it before I even unleashed it on the world. So 2 years ago, there I was trying to build this coaching business, helping people make all kinds of progress on their business goals. My personal world was falling apart, and I won't go into all of the gory details, but the whole upshot of the thing was really a test of my beliefs. I was faced with the challenge of either giving up on a business that was really starting to take off or push through even though it was very difficult, some days to even just get up in the morning, let alone host teleclasses and coach clients. And obviously, you can see the decision I made, but it wasn't easy. And what I found along the way challenged my beliefs, challenged my faith in who I was and what I thought I wanted in my life. I learned that one part of me wanted to be a good mom, a good wife, a good friend, and I wanted to be a successful business owner. And somewhere along the way, I realized that I was afraid. I was afraid that I couldn't be all those things. I was afraid that I would have to give something up, something significant to me, in order to make it happen. And that's when the PEACE system started to come into focus. Now, in the 2 years since I taught that class, there have been even more developments. Personally, I really up-leveled my life and my business. I've been blessed with the opportunity to work with multi-million dollar entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, and regular mom and pops across the globe to help them share their true voice with the world, build a noble empire, and live an inspired life. And in the process, I ran into new issues, self-sabotaging behaviors, limiting beliefs, and other head trash, basically, that kept me from moving forward. It was almost like I was starting over in some ways, which is what told me my PEACE system needed some tweaking. It didn't feel as effective as before because I was at this kind of new space. So I stopped training it, and I went back to work on it. 2 more years, and here we are. Now, the peace system itself, the process is the same, but the elements have been refined, updated, and they just work better. I've got more how-tos to share with you this time around. Things I didn't know the last time I taught this material. Things that I've lived through that make this tool even more powerful, even more helpful. In the past year alone, I've had some major ahas that have complemented this course, things like the essential why. I've learned that clarity is so critical, and I didn't have that level of clarity before. You know, I said earlier I thought I was chasing every shiny object around, and I discovered for me that wasn't true. There was a method to my madness, and if you think you've got shiny object syndrome, I've got some good news for you. Shiny object syndrome can also be something else that actually is more empowering than you might imagine. What you may actually be doing in all of that searching is seeking clarity. Instead of just chasing everything that comes along, you're looking for clarity. And when you have clarity, it makes all of your choices easier. It's your choices that create or interfere with balance in your life. This tool, the peace system, is going to help you get clarity faster. Once you get your life in balance, even if you have a hectic schedule, once you've got life in balance, everything becomes more effortless because you know exactly what to focus on and when to focus on it, and you know what's really important in your life for you. Balance isn't the same for everybody. That's what makes this a customizable kind of a tool. And before we go any further, let me dispel the myth that balance looks like the scales of justice with, you know, everything equal on both sides of the scale. That is rarely, if ever, the case. It's more like being a contortionist or a ballerina on point. You know, it looks effortless, but there's a lot of technique involved. You know, it's not hard if you know what you're doing, but you got to do some learning. And to the person looking at it from the outside, it looks beautiful and it looks perfect. And, oh, you know, how does that just, it just looks so effortless. But they don't know all of the years of training it took you to be able to dance on your toes like that or bend yourself into that position. That's the sense of balance that I'm talking about. And there's an ebb and a flow to that. I have a coach who loves to share this example, so I will share it with you right now. Just for a minute, exhale all of the air that's in your body. Just let it all out. Just let it all out. Just keep letting it all out until you've got nothing left, and then just sit there and don't breathe in. You can't always give. Take a breath. There has to be an inflow and an outflow. Likewise, you can't just keep inhaling, inhale, and never give out. Because if you do, you're going to be holding on to everything and you'll eventually poison your body. And you have to breathe in, you have to breathe out if you're going to have a whole existence on this planet. You have to do both. That's balance. There's the give and the take. There's the keep for yourself and there's the give some away. That's the sense of balance that we're talking about. And sometimes, yes, that means you're doing a lot more breathing out, but that's under the understanding that at some point there's going to be some breathing in. You can't continue to breathe out forever. You can't continue to breathe in forever. But sometimes you do put some extra effort into breathing out. Okay? Some people can only handle one or two things at a time. And they've got their lives set up to live that way. Most of us, though, we need to handle more than that, and often on a regular basis. For most creative entrepreneurs, and when I talk about creative entrepreneurs, I'm talking about people who are making positive changes in the world through their work. Okay, that's what I mean by a creative entrepreneur. For most creative entrepreneurs, there's an ebb and a flow, and that revolves around what I call the 5 key areas of success. And what I found is that when you're out of the flow, when you're out of that kind of balance, you start feeling guilty or resentful, or you get physically sick. When you neglect one of the key areas long enough, you become a firefighter and you put all of your focus on trying to put out the fire in the key area that's been neglected. Well, when you're doing that, that means something else is getting neglected, so you put all of your focus over there. And you try to overdo in that area, thinking that that's going to make up for whatever you missed. And the sad reality of that is, if you haven't figured it out already, that that's just not possible. You cannot make up for a minute of your life that you've given over to something that doesn't empower you. That minute is gone. You can never get it back. All you can do now is move forward. Life happens only once, and we see that a lot right now. YOLO, you only live once, okay? You are investing bits and pieces of your life in everything that you choose to do. Spending time listening to me train on this material is life that you're never going to get back. So I want to make sure that I am educating, entertaining, encouraging, and empowering you to take action. I want to inspire you not just to go, wow, that was so great, but to actually do something. Heck, I value my own life too much to not make it meaningful. I have a vinyl on my wall that a client friend of mine sent to me that says, make every day a story worth living. So make a commitment right now that you're going to take action on what we talk about in the next few weeks together, because you are worth it. And it all comes back to these five key areas, and that's what the P system is all about. It's a prioritization system for your life. It's customizable, and it fits who you are and how you function in the world. It's a structure, but it's not a prison. And it's actually a very freeing process to help you get clear on what you absolutely must do in any given day. And when I talk about structure, I like to think about it like one of those big jungle gym things that looks like a dome. If that thing was made out of spaghetti, nobody could play with it. It wouldn't work properly. But because it's shaped like a dome and the metal is solid and it's this framework that isn't going to move on you, you can climb on it, climb through it, climb under it, climb over it, walk on top of it. You can do a lot of stuff inside that framework. So that's the structure that the P system gives you, and you have a lot of creative liberty in and around it to make it work in a way that suits you, your life, your business. It also works in conjunction with any other tools you may already be using. So I am not asking you to throw out your PDA or your day planner. I have Google Calendar. It is the only thing that I've found in my 30-some-odd years of living on this planet that actually works for me, because it's everywhere I go. So I have that. I had to get rid of day planners and all that because it didn't work for me. But if it works for you, this will work in conjunction with that. The P system is simply a daily process that you go through to get very clear on what is most important for you today so that you can take action quickly and keep your life in balance. It looks at the five key areas, and it still gives you the flexibility to be proactive and prevent obstacles from coming between you and what needs to be done today. It also offers the ability to triage any roadblocks that you might face and help you find ways around them so that the obstacles don't continue to come up in the future. I call it the P system, and each letter stands for a step in the process. And I called it the P system because I wanted peace in my life. So I'm like, hey, we'll just create a system that has these letters, and let's see how this works. And it really does bring me a sense of peace and clarity. Because every day that I do this, and it only takes a few minutes in the morning, every day that I do it, I see results, I feel more productive, and I know that I'm doing the must-dos of my life. Things don't fall through the cracks. The days that I don't do it, and I'll be honest, if I get sick, I'm like, the last thing I want to do is get out of bed and prioritize my day. I just want to stay in bed, okay? But the days that I don't do it, I feel the results of not having done it. I feel drained. I feel chaotic. I feel scattered. I feel unfocused. For me, I find that the more clarity I have, the easier it is to get stuff, the important stuff, accomplished. And it gets done faster because there are fewer obstacles competing for your attention. So now if you've looked at the website or if you've taken this class before, you probably figured out the acronym, P-E-A-C-E. So I'm going to run through those really quickly here. P stands for prayer or meditation, some grounding and centering activity that you start the process with so that you can have that space inside yourself open and ready to receive as you move forward. So P stands for prayer. E stands for examining your priorities. You're going to unpack all of the gobbledygook that your to-do lists and all that stuff. You're going to unpack it all, spread it all out, and get clear on what really, of the five key areas, what do I really need to focus on today? A stands for assessing your must-dos. We're going to talk about duties and responsibilities today, and you need to assess before you can put everything into a list of this is what I'm going to accomplish. Okay, I know which of the five key areas I'm working on, but what are the other things that I have to get into my day today? That's what A is, assessing your must-dos. C stands for clarifying your expectations, because let's be honest, our lists are always longer than we can accomplish in a single day, and we need to be realistic about that. So we need to clarify what our real expectations are for getting through this day. And then E stands for exiting with hope and expectation. And E is actually the quickest, easiest, fastest step of the whole routine. Okay? That is the framework that everything is built on. These five simple steps will save your sanity. I know they've saved mine. Every morning I get up, I do my sacred practice, which I'll share more about with you. And this is new to the program this time around. Not everybody is going to need an example of a sacred practice because they've already got one. But if prayer seems foreign to you, or the idea of grounding and centering doesn't feel natural to you, or it's just something you've never experienced, I'm going to provide you with options to make that easier that you can experiment with. So I start with my grounding and centering, and then I examine my five key areas. And if you've seen the post on the blog that I wrote recently, the five key areas are faith, family, fortune, fitness, and freedom. Now, two of those are a slight modification from the last time we taught this course. You may remember them as finances and fun, and now they're fortune and freedom. But after spending 2 years working through them every day, these minor tweaks around the words made a world of difference. And we'll talk more about that in this course, too. Those are the five key areas that you need to consider when you're going through each day of your life. If you neglect any one of these areas for too long, that area is going to die. And I say that in all seriousness because you might quite literally die, as in the case of neglecting your fitness for too long. Some piece of you is going to die if you neglect it for too long. And the beauty of this process is that everybody gets to define these key areas differently. So it's customizable to you, to who you are, and how you define fortune, how you define fitness, how you define freedom, family. Okay, so I get up, I focus myself during my sacred practice, then I examine my five key areas so that I can be proactive on where I need to seek balance. Then I assess my must-dos for the day. I work out where everything is going to fit. And then I get very realistic about what I should expect the day to look like. And as I said a moment ago, very often we put way too much on our to-do list for a day, and then we end up hating ourselves, feeling guilty, or like we haven't accomplished or contributed fully when we still have items on our to-do list at the end of the day. I remember seeing, I think it was Belinda Ellsworth, she was talking about a piece of paper that was maybe the size of a note card and how women will number that thing from 1 to 20 and like fill up the whole card, turn it over and fill up some more. And a guy will be like, I have two things to do today. And they will write those two things on it and then they will fold it up and they will stick it in their pocket. We need to make sure, and I know some guys who do that too, but we need to make sure that we're being realistic about what we're trying to cram into a single day. And a lot of times it's our own fault that we're overdoing and not focusing on doing our great work in the world. Or worse, you've gotten a few things accomplished, but when it comes down to what's really important, you've neglected the key areas altogether. They got put on the back burner because you had to clean up an emergency, and it sure feels like emergencies are coming at you a lot more frequently, and man, I wonder if there's a reason for that. Well, yes, there is a reason for that, and we're going to dig into that when we talk about getting clarity around your must-dos in a future module. So I get clarity, I get realistic, and then I can start my day with a game plan that's reasonable and supports my goals. That's the process in a nutshell. It's not complicated. And for many people, it can take as little as 10 to 15 minutes. It's really up to you based on what you need. You may find that meditation time is very beneficial to you and you extend that part of the system. The peace system is incredibly flexible, and unlike a diet or a day planner, it's not going to condemn you if you miss a day. In fact, you'll probably realize the benefits of having this clarity. And if you're anything like me, you'll quickly realize how chaotic life gets without it, which kind of encourages you to keep doing it. So it's like its own self-governing system. I actually think I'm addicted to having clarity in my life. I just can't seem to get enough of it. I'm like, I need to know more. Give me more clarity. And this program definitely gives you clarity in spades. And the peace system also lovingly holds you accountable. So let's say, for example, you've listed 5 activities that you've got to accomplish today, 1 for each key area, but you don't get to one of them. If you don't get to it, you don't have to feel guilty about pushing it to tomorrow. And when you push it to tomorrow, this process that you're going to learn is going to gently guide you tomorrow to assess why you didn't do it in the first place and help you brainstorm ways to keep that from continuing so you don't have to continue to push stuff off. And it still holds you accountable to sticking to your guns in your 5 key areas. So maybe today you didn't get to work out, so you push it off to tomorrow. Tomorrow when you do the process, you're going to look at why did you have to push it off in the first place. And what can you do to set yourself up in a different way so that you don't have that happening regularly? And I'll be the first one to tell you, there are exceptions to everything. Something will fall out of the sky that was completely unexpected, and you're going to have to dodge, and you're going to have to figure something out. The P system gives you the flexibility to zig when it's time to zig, and zag when it's time to zag, and stay the course when it's time to stay the course. And it's gentle enough that just about anybody can navigate the system and not feel pressure. And that was a big thing for me. I didn't want to be kicking myself, beating myself up, and feeling bad about I didn't get something done and I've got this piece of paper to prove it. Instead, I have a way to smoothly transition the things that didn't get done and create a plan for myself so that I don't continue to push things off my plate. So let's talk about duties and responsibilities. I have a very clear definition for each of these that may challenge you a bit. It might even upset you. And frankly, entrepreneurs, especially creative entrepreneurs, and women in particular, have taken on too many responsibilities. And usually we do it out of guilt or fear. What ends up happening is that we look at our duties, and our duties are the moral and legal obligations that we have. And when we neglect them, we feel guilty or we feel fear, and we take on responsibilities to fill in the gap between what we should be doing and aren't, as if we're trying to make up for not doing our duty. And like I said earlier, you can't make up. There is no makeup. There's no do-overs in life in terms of getting back the time that you've already invested. Yes, you could go to school and fail and go back to school and get a new degree, and you can start over in that way, but the time that you invested is gone. The same thing with duties and responsibilities. If you're a parent, you have a duty to provide food, clothing, shelter, education for your kids, the basics of life, okay? This is our fundamental legal and moral obligation. This is our duty, right? But because you're feeling guilty about the amount of time that you're spending working on your business, you take on the responsibility of driving your kids to play practice or soccer practice or to their friend's house or to host an overnight and on and on and on. And in short, we become responsible for things that we'd be better off saying no to so that we can fulfill our duty. And one of the inscriptions in the Secret Watch is work when you're working, play when you're playing. So I'm not telling you to skip your kids' choir concert. Not at all. What I'm telling you is to stop making yourself responsible for all the things that other people in your life want to have happen. When I was a kid, if I wanted to be in a play at my high school, my mother told me it was my responsibility to make sure I had transportation. Otherwise, I couldn't participate. Well, you better believe this 9th grader was asking all her friends, can your mom take me home today? Can your mom take me home today? Can your mom take me home next week? Because I wanted to participate. It became my responsibility, not hers. But our responsibilities have a bad habit of making us feel like it's a duty. And we say things like, I'm sorry, I can't meet with you that night. My kid's in a play. I'm sorry, I can't meet with you then. My husband's taking me on a trip. Okay, you start apologizing for having a life and you need to stop it. You just need to stop it, okay? Because first and foremost, you owe no one an apology for the life that you have chosen to live unless you're violating their human rights. You owe no one an apology for the life that you have chosen to live. So instead of saying, I'm sorry, I can't, why not try? Well, I'd love to, but I have other plans. Because that's the real truth. You're not sorry that your spouse is whisking you away on a vacation you've always wanted to go on. You're actually quite excited. You're not sorry that your kid is pursuing their dream and being in this play. You're thrilled. But instead of taking ownership of that, you deflect. And what you need to do is get clarity around what your real priorities are instead of worrying about whose toes am I going to step on if I say no. Priorities come in two forms, duties and responsibilities. Duties are moral or legal obligations that must be done by you, okay? Responsibilities are activities and commitments that you've added to your plate that may tie into a duty but are not a duty in and of themselves, and most certainly do not always have to be done by you. So you need to get clear on what your duties and your responsibilities are and stop adding responsibilities when you're really feeling guilty that you're not measuring up on your duties. And here's a personal example, and I've shared this before. My oldest son has an amazing voice. He's a very talented singer, and so I put him in a choir. And then through some course of time, I ended up co-directing the choir, carting him all over the place for concerts, and then one day in the middle of the season, he decided he wanted to quit. And my response to him wasn't, you can't quit, you've made a commitment. My response to him was, you can't quit in the middle of the year. I've been working on all this music for your choir. So my original plan got completely skewed with my perception of taking on responsibilities as if I was demonstrating my love and affection for my child. My original plan was to support him in something that he loved, which was singing. And because I wanted to show my support, I got involved. And I got involved big time. It became my weekly ritual. It sucked my time away from supporting him and being with him, and it became a responsibility that I had to the choir organization instead of me feeling my duty to love and support my child. And I'm sure you have other examples that come to mind from your own life where a responsibility takes on a life of its own. I could have just as easily dropped him off at choir and then afterwards took him to get an ice cream or spend the afternoon connecting with him. But instead, I got sucked into something that changed the original plan to fulfill a duty into a responsibility involving way more than I had originally planned. Now, I loved directing the choir. I truly did. I enjoyed it a lot. But I also realized when I was about to give birth to his brother, there was time for me to hang up my director's baton and focus on my kids. I could be a better mom when I wasn't directing the choir because I'd have that time back in my life to focus on my family or one of my other key areas, all like running my business, for example. So you need to get ruthless about the responsibilities you've assumed. I'm not telling you to cut ties with everyone and everything. I am asking you to get very clear and be honest with yourself about what you're participating in and why you're doing it. Now, maybe you have to take your child to dance class because there's no one else to carpool with. Maybe you do it because you love the bonding time with your child. But if taking Sally to dance class every week is a major pain in everybody's butt, including Sally's, figure out another way. Trade off with another parent. Find a way to create some freedom in that activity so that everybody's not like, oh my God, it's dance class Tuesday again. That's your big assignment this week. You need to scrutinize the duties and the responsibilities that you have and start looking for ways to protect yourself from taking on any more responsibilities. In fact, start looking for ways to delegate those responsibilities to other people, or to rid yourself of them completely if you can. The fewer responsibilities you have, the easier it is to focus. My 6-year-old cleans the table off, puts the dishes in the dishwasher, helps me load the dishwasher. It's not a big deal, but it helps me. It frees up some of my time. He cleans his own room. You know, I mean, some of these things are obvious, but when you find yourself picking up after everybody all the time, that's your life that has become a responsibility minefield. When you are constantly covering for a coworker, enabling them to continue to be a slacker because you don't want to look bad because your name's on the project too, then you've taken on a responsibility that they are glad to let you do because then they don't have to. Inside your responsibilities, you will have three different kinds of to-dos. We will dig into those in detail during session four, but to give you an idea, they are your must-dos, your should-dos, and your want-to-dos. And there are three kinds of must-dos, which we'll talk about. But you've got to be able to sort through those and do it kind of quickly if you want to have more clarity about your direction in life and business. And as you practice the P system, you'll get clear, okay, that's a should-do, and that needs to be dealt with. That's a want-to-do, and that needs to be put on this list. This is a must-do. It's this kind of a must-do, so this is how I'm going to handle it. And you'll get really good at quickly identifying and sorting those responsibilities and figuring out ways to delegate them as you become more aware of what is in your life. Some things are never going to go away. Your regular must-do activities, that's your routine. I brush my teeth, I take a shower, I get dressed. That's not going anywhere. But there are some other things that have become routine for you that may not need to be in there. So look inside your routines and see if you've embedded some responsibilities that you could let go of. Figure out how to make the transition and free up your time. Because I can pretty much guarantee you're doing way more than you need to. And it's mostly because you've overcommitted yourself in areas that don't serve you or your goals. And you're doing it because you're feeling guilty or fearful about one of the five key areas being out of balance. So let's really look at those five key areas now. Let's kind of pick them apart a little bit. And these are my definitions as I've created the program. And if you see how it might shift a little bit for you, go for it. That's the beauty of making this program so flexible. So let's start with faith. When I talk about faith, I talk about the journey of believing in something. Not something you already believe in, but the journey of believing. Especially something greater than yourself. It could be someone, even yourself, who believes in you, your work, what you're doing in the world. It could be God. It could be anything, but especially if it's something bigger than you, okay? And that's about getting support in your life. Establishing support systems is a key component to anyone's success. So this isn't about church per se, although if that's where your support system comes from and that's where your faith is strengthened, then absolutely. But it's more about stimulating that part of you that gets inspired, that fires you up, that keeps you focused on your goals, that ignites your passion, that helps you see your mission more clearly. It could be faith in your product or faith in the lives that you're impacting for the better. It could be faith that your family deserves more than what you've given them at this point or they've been able to have at this point. It's that seed of an idea that when cultivated, takes you places in your life and in your work. That's what faith is about here. Now, for me, my faith centers around God, and I don't apologize for that, and I don't try to hide behind it. I'm not perfect. I do my best each day to be a good example to everyone, regardless of their spiritual belief. I have no problem with other people who want to say the universe or spirit or Buddha or whatever. To me, it's God, so that's the verbiage I use, and you can insert whatever word works for you. That's my belief. That's my faith system, and that's how I move through the day. And I'll talk about my own process of prayer and meditation next week when we talk about step one in the peace system, but I don't want you to get hung up on religion because this process transcends religion. When I'm talking about faith, it's the crossroads between your core values and what you really believe. What you really truly believe in your heart of hearts, in your core being, shapes everything in your life and business. If you believe you can make something happen, you'll have a much better time of it than if you don't believe it at all. If you believe something's absolutely not possible, you won't even try. Why would you try? It's not even possible. And your belief system has you set up with that construct of this is not possible, therefore I will not try. But faith says, I don't know if that's possible or not. I'm willing to find out. I'm willing to take a step. I'm willing to see what's beyond what I already think I know. So that's faith. Family. These are the people of impact in your life, deep emotional impact. So family could also be teachers, friends. They could be living or dead. They could be fictional. These are folks that have helped to mold you, your mentors. So this isn't about a blood bond per se. Although, for most of us, that's the family we know the best and that we cling to. This is where you look at that one thing you can do to strengthen a relationship, to build a bridge or secure a connection with someone that has deeply affected you in life or in work. And I intentionally didn't make friends a key area because sometimes, as I mentioned in the book, friends are as family. Sometimes our friends are more like family than our own blood relatives. And there are different kinds of family. We have close family. We have crazy family. I have a theater family. I have a spiritual family in addition to my blood relatives. So look in your own life and see what kinds of family-like groups have formed that provide support, encouragement, and inspiration to you. And if you're lacking in that area, that's a key area that needs to be fed and nourished. Fortune, previously known as finances, and this is a word that made people cringe when I would say it. I just say the word finances and people are like, oh, God, I don't want to talk about that. And I wasn't necessarily talking about the amount of debt that they had, although that is an element of it. But the word itself had such a heavy connotation that I had to let it go. So we came up with fortune. And fortune isn't just about your business, although that's a big piece of it. Quite often as entrepreneurs, our business and our personal finances are intertwined. Our business is an extension of ourselves, and what we're putting out in the world is a reflection of us. It represents who we are and what we stand for. And sometimes it can be the only source of income in our household. But your fortune looks at more than just your business. It's how you're spending money as well as what you're spending it on. It's the choices you're making to strengthen your financial situation on the personal as well as the professional front. And there are a lot of ramifications if you look at it with that lens. It's also about the direction that you've pointed your ship in the waters that you're sailing on. Are you creating a smooth sailing experience as you face the winds of fortune? Or are you letting the world just kind of blow you about and toss you about on the sea? Are you being intentional about what you're creating in the world? Or are you being haphazard? Neither is good or bad here. I want to clarify that. It's just a thermostat of what your existence is. Some people like that more carefree, laissez-faire existence. They're bohemian, and they have no ties, and they're a rolling stone, and that's the life they want for themselves. Some people are more controlled when it comes to wealth and stuff of fortune, and, you know, they've got it calculated down to the micro penny, and they, you know, they know what's in every account at every given moment, when every bill is supposed to hit, at what time, and, I mean, that's their existence. Where do you fall on that spectrum? How do you define fortune? Because that's what's ultimately going to matter when you're digging into the key areas. And what I want to convey to you is that it's not just about money. It's more holistic than that. It's a broader definition of wealth and the things associated with it. Because you can have a tremendous pool of contacts, and that's a valuable resource that contributes to your fortune, even though it's not necessarily cash money. If that makes sense. Fitness. Fitness is not just physical. It is mental, social, spiritual. Okay, this is about being healthy on all fronts, making healthy choices, and living a healthy existence, building a healthy business, increasing your mental and physical vitality in a myriad of ways. So nutrition and exercise, yes, but also reading, learning, experiencing new adventures in your life and in your business. Fitness at first seems pretty self-explanatory, but it's very nuanced. Your mental health is equally important to your physical health. When I was in ninth grade, I was in a high-level gifted program, and I had a teacher who would give us what he called mental health days. And basically, for the hour we were in class, we would watch a Disney movie and we would color with crayons or markers in coloring books, just for the recreation of it. And then we'd go back into our college prep work the next day. But that recreation, he knew, was an important part of building our mental fitness. We need to recreate as a form of self-care, not just as a form of fun, but as a form of self-care. And then lastly, freedom. And I've tried to be all work, and I can't do it, you know. So when we talk about recreation, it can be a fitness issue. It can be a freedom issue. I need to laugh. I need to enjoy myself. I need to have a good time. I sing karaoke. I do musicals with a local theater company. I write music. I enjoy reading. I like taking the kids to the park. You know, that's a family thing and a freedom thing. Two birds with one stone. But it's about defining what fun is for me and what recreation is for me and what rebuilding myself is for me, for you. Maybe that means friends. You know, I mentioned friends again here because some friends are like family and others you just have around for fun stuff. And both are okay. So it's flexible in that way. But more than just having fun, freedom represents that more nebulous element of what success feels like to you. Maybe success for you is having a larger impact on your favorite charity. Maybe it's traveling. Maybe it's having spending power. Maybe it's quiet time and self-care. Freedom is about the holistic well-being. Fortune was like holistic around money. Freedom is holistic about your entire well-being. And being in a position to not ever have to compromise your truth to live your life. It's about speaking from your true voice or even learning what your true voice is in the first place. Freedom allows you to become a fully expressed evolution of your higher self. It's the best you could possibly be on steroids, okay? And I kind of joke about that. But freedom gives you open doors into so many areas of your life and work. You're not a slave to anything anymore, yet you can still choose to be of service to those that matter most. It's about service, not servitude. And you have more clarity around who those people that matter most really are. So instead of chasing clients and chasing relationships, you're focused on being the most amazing you that you can be. And in the process, you draw a crowd because you shine. You become a lighthouse for others. That's freedom. Now, I promised you a very simple questioning tool that you could take right off this session and put to work immediately. And it takes all five of these key areas into account. We just ask this one question. What one thing can I do today to help improve this key area? Again, what one thing can I do today to help improve this key area? And then you just ask it for each key area. So what one thing can I do today to help improve the key area of fitness, of fortune, of freedom, of family, of faith? What one thing can I do today? Now, by asking that question, you will get immediate ideas to move forward on. The minute you ask the question, your brain will rush in with a flood of responses. And sometimes those responses are going to seem unrelated. They may even seem, quote unquote, small in nature. And I challenge you to remove the judgment from the ideas that come to you. So you can just sit, and I like to sit with my hand over my heart and just breathe in and ask the question, what one thing can I do today to help improve the key area of fitness? And then you'll get impressions. Just jot them down. When you're done jotting them down, pick one. Don't pick 75 of them. Pick one and take that action. No matter how insignificant you may judge it to be, take the action. Because a twig may seem insignificant compared to a freight train, but if you place that twig on the track in just the right way, you're going to derail the train. So those little things can make a huge difference. Small steps yield incredible results over time. It's like the example of the 1 degree shift. Two people start at the same place. One of them makes a 1 degree turn, and then they start walking forward. At first, it's going to look like they're moving down the same path, but eventually, you're going to see just how far apart those 1 degrees really are. And you don't want to go more than a day or two without addressing each key area, because you don't want to see that big divergent, oh my gosh, I've totally left my goals behind kind of a thing. Think about it. If you ignore fitness too long, you get sick. You might even die. You ignore your fortune for too long, you could end up homeless or bankrupt. Ignore your family for too long, they'll divorce you or forget what you look like. Ignore building freedom into your life for too long, and you know, you become an old stick in the mud that nobody wants to hang out with. Ignore faith and you harden, you break, you shatter into fragments of the person that you once were, or fragments of the person that you could have ever become. Okay, and that's harsh. It sounds cold, but I've seen it happen to too many people. They lose faith in their work. They lose faith in themselves. They lose faith in their dreams to build their noble empire, and then they become this shadow existence. You don't want that to happen. You need to take action to address each of your five key areas, and you really shouldn't go more than a day or two without looking at them all. And like I said earlier, you know, sometimes you can do one thing that kills two or three birds with one stone. Go for it, you know? Then you're still taking action and moving forward, and you're not overwhelming yourself. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to explore each step of the peace system in greater detail. Our next session is going to focus on prayer and meditation. I'm going to share with you the process I use, as well as a few suggestions to get you started in a way that allows you to experiment and discover what's going to work best for you. I'm not here to force feed you what has worked for me. I'm here to offer suggestions for the framework that might work for you, suggestions that I've seen that do work for other people, okay? And that's what makes the peace system so customizable. It's up to you to try the suggestions, tweak them to fit what works best for who you are and how you live your life. At this time, if there are any questions, you can press *6, and I will be glad to answer any questions that you have about the process, anything we covered today, anything that you're not clear on. That's what I'm here for, and I love to help if I can. So just press *6. Going once. Going twice. Okay, I'm not showing any questions. So if you guys do have any questions that come up after completing the module about any of the content, you can just shoot us an email. And if you have any feedback, I always love to hear your feedback as well. Send an email to info@lisarobinyoung.com. That email will go straight to my team, and we'll try and answer your questions either directly if it's a personal question or in next week's session so that everyone can benefit from that. And I would love to hear how this is helping you. If you're getting ahas and things that are really working for you, I'd love to hear that as well so that we could share that information with other people who are asking about the system. So that's going to wrap it up for us this week. We will be back here, same bat time, same bat channel, next week. And until then, this is Lisa Robin Young signing off in blessings and peace. Have a great day.